QCQCQ, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAGCHU portion. Tonight we're going to start off with pre-net check-ins, then we're going to go to Echolink check-ins, and then we're going to go to brand new amateur radio operators that have never been checked into a net before or have done a very low quantity of times and aren't really sure about the protocol. Just throw your call sign out there and then I'll get you checked in afterwards. So starting off with the pre-net check-ins tonight, we have 22. So a good list of pre-net check-ins tonight. Net Control like to recognize W2AMD, that's Andrew in Simpsonville. W4FCM, that's Fred, bring with him. N4IEI, that's Miss Isla, they're over in Travelers Rest. K4XMR, that's Mel, he's in Prosperity. KG4PFI, that's Don, bring with him. KG4QLQ, that's Miss Linda, they're over in Piedmont. KA3JCA, that's Richard, bring with him. KA4JCA, that's Sally. And K3DOV, that's the Upstate Amateur Radio Club. And KA4ACL, that's Miss Ashley. They're all located over in Simpsonville. Good to have them with us this evening. KM4JWP, that's Brian in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Brian. N4ASW, that's Tony in Asheville. KM4BLH, that's Kurt in Greenville. KW4TS, that's Jim in Pelzer. KJ4UHF, that's Jack in Greenville. K1CJW, that's Roland in Pickens. KF4NXY, that's David in Honey of Path, bringing with him. KF4SX, that's Marie. A4SX, that's Marie. They're both in Honey of Path. Good to have you tonight, David. Tell Miss Marie we said hello. And KC4W, that's Bill over in Anderson. KO4RAX, that's Jim in Dacusville. KM4RJN, that's John in Brown Summit. And KO4ZEW, that's Ben. He's in Florence this evening. Good to have those guys that use the pre-net check-in capability. That's what it's there for. Appreciate you doing that. And at the moment, we don't have any Echolink stations logged in, so we're going to go straight to brand new amateur radio operators that have never checked into a net before and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest. Okay, not hearing any brave souls this evening. We'll go ahead and go right into the RF section of the net. Tonight being Saturday night, we're going to begin with Alpha through Delta. Stations with the first letter in the suffix of their call and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. The first letter being Alpha through Delta and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
4DJW. Dave, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, and my daughter, Beck, Michelle. We're all in Piedmont, and we'll all be negative and negative.
JW. Let's check in. November 4, Alpha Hotel Oscar, N4AHO. Doug in Walhalla. Negative and negative this evening, 73 in the net.
KW. Please check in. November 4, Delta Juliet Charlie, N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson, negative and negative. Good evening to everyone on the net.
For DJW. Kilo Juliet 4, Bravo Kilo India, that's KJ4BKI. That's Jack in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and I'll be in and out. Have a good one.
Okay, that's a good group to start with the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening. Net Control like to recognize KK4DMW, that's Rick. Bring with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle. They're all located over in Piedmont. Good to have you as tonight, Rick. Tell Miss Lorena and Miss Michelle we said hello and do appreciate you guys checking in. Appreciate your consistency at which you check into the net. We can count on you. Appreciate you being there. And for AHO, that's Doug. He's over in Walhalla. Good to have you with us tonight, Doug. And for DJC, that's Jerry and Anderson. Sounded good, Jerry. Appreciate you being there. KJ4BKI, that's Jack over in Rock Hill. Sounding good from Rock Hill tonight, Jack. Doing a good job. Appreciate you being there. Any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. This is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo to River Gulf, Glenn and Gray Court. And, just check me in and out. But nice to hear your voice again and say 73's in the net while you're at it. And we'll talk to you later.
Hey, Doug. Today, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home at Easley, no traffic, no chew tonight. Good evening to you and Amy and all on the net.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KD2BNG, that's Glenn over in Gray Court. Good to have you with us tonight, Glenn. You're sounding good. It is good hearing you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Appreciate you being with us tonight. And KI4DOS, that's Gary, bringing with him, K3JOY, that's Miss Joy. They're over in Easley. Tell Miss Joy said hello, Gary. Appreciate you guys checking into the net this evening. And Gary is our Wednesday night net control and swap net operator. So be sure and stop in with Gary on Wednesday nights. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, we'll move it on up to the Echo through Hotel group, station of the first letter in the suffix of their call that begins with letters E through H, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. That's Patrick up here in Penrose. And Dave, I will be in and out tonight. Thanks for calling the net.
4DJW. Please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4EZN, Harry in Candler, North Carolina, and I will be negative tonight. Good to hear you, Dave.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose, North Carolina. He's our new Sunday night net controller operator as of the 11th of December, so be sure and check in with Patrick on Sunday nights at 11. Sunday nights on the 11th, starting on the 11th. He'll be here at 9 o'clock like everybody else. Appreciate you being there, Patrick. Take care. Have a good evening. KC4EZN, that's Harry. He's over in Candler, North Carolina. Good to have you with us, Harry. You're sounding good as usual from Candler, North Carolina. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Any other stations in the Echo Through Hotel group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, moving right along to the India through Lima group, stations with the first letter in the suffix of their call that begins with letters I through L, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W, please check in, Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo, see it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Good evening to you and Miss Amy. Hope both of you are well. This is Sid Fletcher, North Carolina, saying good evening to everybody that's on the net. Hope everybody stays well. Thank you, Dave. And we'll hopefully hear you on the my net tomorrow night. Before I weave back to net.
Net control. Please check in November 4, Juliet, Bravo, Mike, Jerry, and Campobello. I'll be negative and negative.
W. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, KO4JKV. This is Duncan in Asheville. Just mark me negative and negative. 73 to you and everybody on the net.
JW. Thank you for calling the net for us tonight. Please check in Kilo, Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna, Kilo, Charlie, 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, if you would, please. Everyone, have a good night. 7-3.
Jerry and Campobello, can I get your call signed one more time? I think I messed up. I messed it up.
Number 4, Juliet, Bravo, Mike.
Okay, thanks for your patience. That was my problem, not yours. Net control, I'd like to recognize W4IOE. That's Sid. He's over in Fletcher, North Carolina. Good to have you this night, Sid. Tell Miss Beverly we said hello. And by the way, be sure and check in with Sid tomorrow night at 8 on 14664 with a PL tone of 91.5. He'll be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow. He's there every single Sunday for the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club net, and it's Sundays at 8. So be sure and check in with him tomorrow night. I'm sure he'd appreciate it, and I'm sure you'd enjoy the net as well. Sid, appreciate you being with us tonight. Till Miss Beverly said hello. And KO4JKV, that's Duncan. He's our new first two Monday nights of the month net control operator. Good to have you as tonight, Duncan. Be sure and stop by with Duncan as he switches over with Wendy on the first two Mondays of the night. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but you'll be hearing him sooner, if not in January. Good to have you as tonight, Duncan. Hope you're doing well. KK4JBQ, that's Larry. He's bringing with him KC4MFK. That's Miss Donna there in Greer. Good to have you as tonight, Larry. Till Miss Donna, we said hello. Always good to hear you on the net, Larry. Appreciate you being there. And N4JBM, Jerry, sorry about messing up your call. I did that. I do that sometimes. I entered it with a wrong, you get it in your head, you get it stuck in your head wrong. It's hard to get it out. Just got to stop and ask. Anyway, I got it in there right now. Appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Any other stations in the India through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, we'll move it on up to the Mike through Papa group, stations with the first letter in the suffix of their call that begins with letters M through P, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, sounds like they're hanging around till second shift. We'll go ahead and bump it on up to Quebec through Tango, station with the first letter in the suffix of their call that begins with letters Q through T, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
BJW. Can Kilo Oscar 4... Quebec, Lima, Golf. This is Chris and Liberty. I don't mean negative.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4QLG. That's Chris, sounding good from Liberty this evening. Chris, thanks for logging in tonight. I thought my receiver must have broken on my radio. Two groups in a row with nobody checking in. I'm glad to hear you check in. It tells me my receiver is still working. Good to have you with us tonight. Any other stations in the Quebec through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W4DJW, please check in N0TR, November 0, Tango Romeo. My name is Tom. I'm located in Burton Greer. Good evening to you, Dave and Amy, all on the net. I'll be negative and 80.
Okay, next, I'd like to recognize N0TR. That's Tom, just a stone's throw away from my house over here in Greer. Good to have you with us tonight, Tom. Tell Miss Bernice we said hello. You sounded good staying up this late at night. Appreciate you being with us this evening. Any other stations in the Quebec through Tango group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, we've already made it to the what would normally be considered the patient group, but they've only had to wait 16 minutes, so they don't have to be so patient tonight. Uniform through Zulu. If the first letter in the suffix of your call begins with letters U through Z and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. Tavo 4, Zulu, Victor, Mike, ZVM, Dan, and Greer, and I'll be negative and negative tonight, Dave.
JW. Low Alpha 5, Whiskey, Lima, Lima, Leroy, and Taylor's, negative and negative. Good evening, all on net. Thank you for calling in tonight, sir.
Devia. Please check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. My name is Tommy. My location is Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KB4ZVM. That is Dan, a neighbor of mine over in Greer. Good to have you this night, Dan. Good to hear you checking back in regularly again. Take care. Stay safe. And KA5WLL, that's Leroy. He's over in Taylor's. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Leroy, you're sounding good. And K4XB, that's Tommy. He's down in Southern Greenville County. Good to have you this night, Tommy. You're sounding good as well. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening. Let's go ahead now and open it up all the way through the alphabet, A through Z, Z through A. If you've got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, this could turn out to be a very, very quick net. This is W4DJW now securing the formal portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. And we'll now begin the rag chew portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between rag chews. But we don't have any rag chewers, so have I missed anyone for comments or have I missed any check-ins? Call W4DJW.
JW. India 4, Lima Zulu Inc. KR4LZI. Ames, Table Rock, no traffic, no round table.
For DJW, recheck.
I'll be right with you, Larry. Net Control like to recognize KI4LZI. That's Andy over in Table Rock. Sounding good as usual, Andy. Appreciate you taking the time to be there. Go ahead, Larry.
KBQ here. Dave, I'll hang in with you till the second shift. It is kind of light tonight, and maybe people are just dragging. I don't know. KK4JBQ.
Very good, Larry. I've got you down for comments, so I will be back to you. Could be very quick. We'll see. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into? Oh, we've got an EchoLink station. EchoLink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, please check in Kilo Charlie 4, Sierra Kilo Delta, Larry, and also Kilo Golf 4, Alpha Hotel Sierra Ronda. We're both in Easley. Good evening to you, Dave, and everybody on the net. Please check us in and out tonight.
Okay, Net Control like to recognize via EchoLink, KC4SKD, that's Larry, bring it with him, KG4AHS, that's Miss Rhonda. They're over in Easley. Good to have you as tonight, Larry. Tell Miss Rhonda we said hello and appreciate you taking the time to poke your head in the door and say hello this evening. Hope you and Miss Rhonda are doing well. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. All right, sounds like we got them all for now. First one up on the stump this evening is KK4JBQ. Larry, what's going on? You got a brand new, clean, shiny stump called W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
DJW, KK4JBQ. Well, I just can't sit here and have such a short net if all it's going to take is a little bit of chatter. So I got a little bit of chatter, I guess. And it has to do with radio, but not amateur radio. But it was my path. It was my, what do they call it? Gateway drug. broadcast radio, late night broadcast radio. So I wonder if you're familiar with the name Art Bell.
Yes, I have heard the name Art Bell many times. How were you involved with Art Bell?
Well, I mean to insinuate a very special relationship. I was, like millions of other people, tuning around the dial and caught his show one night. It was probably back in the late 80s. Don't know where he was broadcasting from at the time. But I was fascinated. And I was listening on, you may recall this radio, it was a Ward's Airline Magic Eye radio.
That's the radio that you were on?
A cabinet, a small cabinet by my bedside. I was having trouble just getting to sleep, and so I turned it on, and there was Art Bell. And Coast to Coast AM was the program. He was talking about stuff I'd never heard of, but he had a pleasant voice, of course, and he had guests on that let him down the rabbit hole, and so I hung in there, and every night it got to be a habit. Every night I listened to Art Bell and Coast to Coast, and I'm still listening to it, quite honestly. So if I was new, that young, I've been listening a lot of years, and I'm proud to do that. I've just found that station, I think he took about 2 years off back in the 90s, late 90s maybe it was, and he came back with another program that he dubbed Midnight in the Desert, and that was fascinating too. But anyway, rather than hear me rattle on, what's your relationship with that program?
Well, I've just heard other people talking about him many times. Many other people have listened to him and referred to him. I went through like three stages of my what did you call that, your stepper drug? whatever that was. When I was really young, in single digits, I built my first crystal radio set, and I listened up there to Nashville just about every night. My parents watched Hee Haw, and my sister and I would sit on the floor in front of the TV while they sat on the couch behind us, and we'd all watch Hee Haw and listen to the country music. So I kind of started liking that. And then as I transitioned and I started working on cars, I started listening to local stations like WQOK. I don't know if you were around here when WQOK was big, but preteens and teenage years, I went through WQOK and some other rock stations. And then got away from radio for a while until I got a job, and I was driving back and forth from work and different shifts. When I was on second shift coming home, I would listen to, I don't know if you remember, the talk show late at night. There was somebody on there that I listened to, and I can't remember the name of it, but I think of it, I'll tell you about it. But it was people that would call in and talk to, it was a woman that was the disc jockey, and they'd call in, they'd talk to her and discuss problems they have, and she'd give them advice, and I listened to that every night driving home from Michelin, and then kind of drifted away from radio. So Art Bell, not specifically, I've just heard people talking about him a good bit, but that's my addiction to radio before I became a ham radio operator.
Okay, so KK4JBQ here. That's sort of where I went with this topic. It's what I was doing before I knew amateur radio existed, before I knew that I could have a microphone in my hand and you know, do what we do. maybe I went there and circled back too quickly, but I was on the internet, on YouTube earlier this evening, about 2 hours ago now, and found Midnight on the Desert. Midnight in the Desert. It's a channel that has a lot of his programming, like a couple hours at a time, really. Remember when YouTube was 10 minutes? Everybody had a limit of 10 minutes. Well, that went out the window a long time ago, I know, but it's kind of fascinating, really, to be able to listen to his broadcasts from a different era. And he really does have a hypnotic voice on the radio, and has had, well, he's passed now, but he had a fantastic life and interviewed a lot of people. So it was an interview type show. Anyhow, the Ward Airline Magic Eye radio, the little console radio that I listened to in the dark. See, it was in the dark. It had a tuning, and you might be acquainted with this too. It had a tuning indicator that was actually a tube turned on its side. Its top came out of the cabinet, and you could tune in a station by watching a couple of lines in the tube. They fluoresced. A couple of lines in the tube come together, and when they came together, you were perfectly tuned, as best you could be, of course. And I was fascinated with that radio, and all for years I played around with that thing till it died. I didn't know it could be fixed. Don't know where it is today. But anyway, I think back to that, and it's my fascination with radio. Everybody's got a story like that. I don't think I've ever mentioned it to anybody, so here I am telling you how I got hooked on radio. KK4JBQ.
Be right back with your comment in just a second. So, Larry, you had the Big Bucks radio. I didn't have one of those. I had a coil wound on a paper towel roll, and a coat hanger bent in the shape of a hook, screwed down to the board with a wood screw, and a couple of cat whiskers and some resistors and diodes, and that was it. My dad had the big glow-in-the-dark radios that had the tubes in them. I didn't have any of those until I got one for Christmas one time, and I had to build it myself. It was just a kit. It was a box with a bunch of parts thrown in there and a frame to set everything on. And it had two dials like you're talking about, two, and I don't remember. One must have been a band selector, and the other one was a tuner, best I can recall. And, you know, I don't know what happened to that thing either. But I had to build that like three times. Build it, take it apart, build it, take it apart, and build it the last time, and it finally worked on the third pass. And the legs on the through hole parts were getting really, really short by the third build. Comment, go ahead.
Doug for DJW, and forgot Larry's call. This is Casey for Easy and Harry. You can still hear Art Bell on the radio, at least ways up here, WWNC, not every night, but they have the Coast to Coast program still on, but sometimes they will have Art Bell somewhere in time. And I think I have heard him occasionally from the late 80s to the early 90s, and what was somewhat scary was he would be interviewing somebody who in that day and time you thought he was off in the ditch or maybe even on the other side of the ditch on some social or political or something, whatever it was, and you're sitting there listening to that thinking, you know, that guy was right. But anyway, you can still hear Art Bell on the radio up here occasionally, that Coast to Coast radio, it's on every night except Sunday night. They have another fella come on in. But they have some interesting people. And, yeah, my first radio was a crystal set. It was a kit. Had a cat's whisker. And I could pick up three stations. One was the next-door neighbor who was a ham who sold my dad the crystal set kit. The other one was the local radio station in Statesville, and when they signed off at 11 o'clock, then I listened to Radio Moscow. Those were the three stations I could pick up. We'll turn it back to you, Dave. This is Casey for Easy In.
Well, that's interesting, Harry. I always shop for Nashville. I could pick up several different stations in Nashville, and that's where I tune to most of the time just because I like that country music. Appreciate that, Harry. And, yeah, you remember Casey Kasem and the Top 20 Countdown or whatever that was, Top 50 or something like that? That's another one that I used to listen to on Saturdays while I was building an engine, taking an engine out or putting an engine in or scraping the block where the gaskets go, listening to Casey Kasem. Back to you, Larry, W4DJW and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
BQ. Thanks for jumping in there, Harry. You brought back a few memories for me, too. And to both you and Dave, my first build-it-myself radio was on a Quaker Oats. They had dry rolled oats in a box. Well, it's a bigger tube. It was a bigger inductor. And than a paper towel roll or something like that. And I read about it, and I had no expectations. And it used a little, germanium diode and a little bar that you rubbed over on the Quaker Oats box, and that tuned in your station. And that sucker worked. It worked. And, you had to use a headphone with it because Zeppelin was not amplified. But it took no batteries. It was free radio, really free. And the batteries never ran down because you didn't use them. How about that?
And the longer the antenna, the more radio waves, more electricity would build up on it. And it didn't even have to be in the air. My dad, when he was in the Army, he sent CW out the back of an LT-11 Bird Dog. And they let 300 feet of copper wire out the back, and he'd send to CW, and then they'd crank it back in. before they landed, and I got a roll of that. I still got a roll out there in my garage right now that he brought home with him. And I use that copper wire for both rolling the paper towel roll to make that coil and for my antenna that stretched out across the yard. And I never even hung it up in the air. I just laid it out across the yard before I went to bed. And then I'd get my radio out from under the bed when I went to bed, and I'd hook it up on a wing nut. And I'd have it disconnected before the morning, before my parents came in there in the morning, so they wouldn't know that I was listening to it all night long with no batteries required, just free static electricity in the air. That was something else. That was like magic. It's still like magic to me.
Yeah, that is marvelous. And I know we're telling on ourselves tonight, but I think it's interesting the way people first heard of radio you could have yourself, you know. I'm pressing a button and speaking into a microphone, and it's going out to who knows where. It's pretty fascinating, really. I don't think it's old school at all. Electricity has been around, like, forever. You know, lightning is electricity. Nature is electricity. And that's been around, like, forever, right? So, and I find new things about this hobby all the time. New things. I watched a fellow build an antenna that was over 40 feet. It's a 40-foot vertical, a three-band antenna. And I think it was 40, 20, and 10 on purpose. You know, there's probably many ways you could do this, but put it up in a cow pasture. And, well, it's just fascinating what people do. It truly is. And I've known a bunch of hams since entering the hobby about 10 years ago. And it's been a source of, you know, inspiration to me. And I've met people that I wouldn't have otherwise. I'm certain I've had best of friends that I would never have met before. And, you know, we wouldn't have crossed paths. So this is a great hobby for so many reasons. KK4JBQ.
Well, talking about the vertical, 40-foot vertical, I was talking to a guy on the vertical one time, and he told me he was on a vertical. He didn't tell me how big it was. But he sounded really, really good, and he was a long way away. He was like up in the upper west corner, northwest corner of the United States. And I asked him, tell me a little bit about that vertical, because I had been considering them, but everything that I heard was not so good. And he said, well, it's a 200-foot vertical. So then he really got my curiosity up, and he didn't hold it from the bottom up 200 feet. He went up on his tower, which was well over 200 feet, and at the 200-foot mark, or a little bit higher than that, he hung it off of the tower. It was a ladder line vertical, separated with, you know, it looked like a ladder you threw over the side of a cliff to climb up the cliff. But it was an antenna separated with pieces of wood that were like 2 feet apart. A really, really big vertical antenna, really tall, long, which I guess that explains. If you know what you're doing, that explains why it sounded really, really good. But yeah, if I was going to have a vertical, that'd be the kind of vertical I would want. Anyway, it is kind of magic until you let the magic smoke out. And like Mike says when he calls the net, don't let the magic smoke out. Keep the magic smoke on the inside. Well, what else you got for us this evening, Larry? That's good. You brought back some old memories.
What intent, and also to get us into second shift. And I think we're there, and I hope there's some people waiting in the wings to check in with you tonight, Dave. Thank you for calling the net for us tonight. And thank Harry for his comments. And I'll stand by and listen. This is KK4JBQ.
All right, Larry. Well, we appreciate you extending it on out until second shift could have the opportunity to get here. Let's see how well second shift's going to do. Do we have any stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
JW. Please check in. Alpha Foxtrot 4 Lima Victor. Mark, I'm in Belton. I'll be negative. I'm tempted to
say something, but just suffice it to say that I've enjoyed very much listening to your discussion, you and Larry discussing those early radio kits that you built. Over to you from AF4LV.
Hey, in the control, I like to recognize AF4LV. That's Mark over in Belton. Good to have you with us tonight, Mark. You're sounding good. And yeah, that is fun to get talking about those. Sometimes you can get carried away there and go on and on. It's just it's fun reminiscing about those days. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
Going to have one check-ins. After hearing Larry's comment, now I've got a comment. KI4LZI.
All right, Andy, go ahead with your comment. I'll put you down for comments, and we'll start now.
LZI, you was talking about that where you could zero it in right dead center of the station. This book I got here that goes from 1930 to 42 with some of the radios that Sirius Silvertone sold, some of the late 30 radios they sold was like that. Some of Sirius radios were made by different manufacturers, but being that I got this 40 Silvertone, I got that to see if it was in there, and it is in there. And you look on that RadioBoulevard.com website I've mentioned on here before, you're going to find all kinds of those kind of, as they call them there, entertainment receivers, old surplus gear, military gear, vacuum tube, the crystal kind, spark gap kind, also for AFLV, that's Radio Boulevard, RadioBoulevard.com. You go to that site and any kind of radio that's had a vacuum tube in it, you'll find it there. Go ahead, Dave.
W4DJW, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Andy, I didn't know that much. I mean, when I was learning amateur radio, I really didn't know that much about transmitting. I grew up around it. My dad was doing it all the time, mostly CW, but he talked on sideband some too. And I guess some AM, but not a lot of AM. I think he got, when he was getting into it, they were having the hams that said, oh, that sideband's just no good. That's Donald Duck. If you're not doing AM, you're not doing amateur radio. And so he gravitated directly to sideband, right? Just because he liked to be obstinate. And I got a little bit of that from him. But until I got an SDR radio that had a spectrum on the screen that you could see, you could see up the band and down the band, and you could see where somebody was transmitting. And I built one of them, a Soft Rock 40 for VHF, and that was my first one. And you could see the width of what they're transmitting. And if you go down really low, like I built like a dozen of those things, and if you put it down on 80 meters, you could see where the AM transmitters are. And those guys are really, really wide. Or if you go, to AM broadcast radio, they're even wider. But when you dial in the center, that didn't really mean anything to me. I knew that when you started getting close on FM, you didn't have to get it right in the center to hear, to make the FM really, really clear. But you dial off on sideband just a little bit, or CW just a little bit, or any of the digital modes, and bam, it's gone, right? It goes away really fast. But with FM, I saw on that scope how far away from center you could get, and it still sounded really, really good. Now, you get to a point where it starts getting scratchy. But center of a signal that is coming out for FM or AM, especially AM, really, really broad, really wide, really easy target to hit until you get the single sideband where you've only got half of it, or, upper sideband or lower sideband when you're using digital, or CW. CW is pretty narrow as well.
LZI Friday. Well, in this Sirius catalog, radio gear that's old from 30 to 42. A lot of those late 30 models, entertainment receivers they sold, a lot of them had that capability where it had an eye, what they called it, a tuning eye, where you could zero beat it right in on. And they also, in some of those, mentioned that was long before you had 162.55 and VHF high band for the weather band. Somewhere up there on the broadcast band back in the late 30s, I don't know if it was just in the big metro areas, because I'd never heard no one say about it anywhere around like that around here, but somewhere up there in part of the broadcast band was something similar to what the NOAA weather station is today. I've seen it on some of the advertising on those late 1930 receivers that Sears sold. That website I was telling you about, it'll tell you about any kind of vacuum tube of radio of any kind that existed from the time tubes went out all the way back to the beginning. So, all of you ought to at least look through that.
Well, I didn't know what that zero beating thing was, but I know that I had a 520 and a Kenwood 520, TS 520 and a Kenwood TS 530, and they had that in the instruction manual. I downloaded PDF files for those because I didn't know how to operate them at all. And when I was, by the time I got into amateur radio, my dad had moved away from the house where we had his 70-foot tower up, and he hadn't put his HF station back together. So I really never knew how to do all that, how to zero beat. But I remember those radios, and I don't know when they made them. They were like hybrids. They were when they started, you know, building part solid state and part tube type radios. And they still had that zero beat in there, but I never really knew what that was until I could actually see it on the screen. And then I said, that's what they're talking about, because you can see the peak right at the middle. And with FM and AM, it's really, it's not a point. It's not like a, it's not pointy. It's flat top. This is like a plateau at the top of the signal. And whereas with the other ones like CW, it's like a tip of a sphere or a spear, tip of a sphere, sharp. Got to hit it right on or you'll miss it. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Tells the guy, well, I've got this other book on all the silver tones that were sold from 30 to 42 when I went about getting that 1940 silver tone I got over there put back in working order at my great aunt on back and used until 57 from my understanding then. Because up there on the watershed, up there, Northern Greenville County, there wasn't no electricity where they lived, and they used a battery in there. It even showed the picture of what the battery would look in that catalog. And on these older ones, I know I can tell between the difference in that and this 718 I got. ICOM 718. Back in those days, they may have withstood the EMP, but the sensitivity and the selectivity of those ancient receivers has a lot to be desired. It's 718 I got here. I can put it on the same frequency on the broadcast band or somewhere else where I might hear AM that silver tone will receive on. It's not nearly as sensitive.
Well, with those AM broadcast stations, the selectivity really was an issue because they weren't really right on top of each other. Well, I guess it depended on where you lived. If there were like, if you lived like at the intersection of two AM radios that were using, radio stations that were using the same frequency, I guess that could be, selectivity was necessary. But sensitivity, if it doesn't have good sensitivity, you know it in a hurry.
Tells the FID, because I've done a comparison. You were talking about earlier about WSM. I've tuned it in on this IC718, then I turned around at one time and tuned it in on that silver tone. It'll receive them, but this ICOM 718 has a whole lot more sensitivity and selectivity to what that 1947 tone receiver has. And at night, with wave night propagation in with only 10 kilohertz separation. That might be important sometimes.
Yeah, are you talking about like the frequencies like in the broadcast range, like 88.5 to 107.5 or something like that? Or are you talking about somewhere south of that?
Tells the RFID. Well, I'm talking about the AM. Medium frequency. AM broadcast band. What W? Remember you mentioned earlier about WSM? I'm talking about comparing, trying to receive that station here on this IC718 compared to receiving it in that 1940 silver tone that my great aunt has. You can see the difference in the selectivity and the sensitivity between the 81-year-old receiver and practically the brand new, the gear of today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and that's, I've gone down there with the Flex radio, and because it has a UHF, VHF, and it'll go down in that area. And, you know, in that range. And I haven't had one that's hard to tune down there. I haven't really tried a lot of other older radios like the Silvertone, like the one that you've got. But they are pretty, the wide band receive, they are pretty, I mean, you just get somewhere close. Usually, it depends on how far you live away from where the broadcast station is. But usually you just have to get close and it comes in pretty solid. I do know what you're talking about at nighttime, though. You do see other stations that are further, a lot further away that start showing up later in the evening. I know what you're talking about there. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Jenkins, and I'll come back.
Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. I think people must be ramping up or getting ready to ramp up for Christmas, and they're out doing other stuff, Andy. So we might have a few light nights between now and Christmas, or even between now and New Year's.
KI4LZI. Well, as much as I hate to say it, we can't, like we're talking about here about these radios, you can't turn the hands of time back. And unless something major in this hobby changes to what it used to be, I don't know that we're going to see many nights anymore where we're averaging 65 check-ins a night and a lot of times 100 check-ins a night either. I remember that year from the 80s and the 90s, but unless something drastically changes, I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of them anymore. But I have, though, compared this 718 on the broadcast band to that silver tone, but that's year then, selectivity and sensitivity would really lack. And the way that broadcast band out of the ionosphere with only 10 kilohertz separation, it can sometimes, that selectivity can be important sometimes. I can talk all night about this, so go ahead and he kind of, when Larry was talking about that and about that tune and I, he kind of lit a fire under me to want to rag you, but go ahead and take care of your net, KI4LZI.
Well, no problem with that, Andy. It's that's what we're here for, and it's kind of a light night, so no pressure there whatsoever. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. Please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4DUD. Please also check in my wife. Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa, KO4RYP.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KO4NUE. That's Chad. Bring with him KO4RYP. That's Miss Anna. And I guess they're in Campobello. I didn't hear. But it does sound like you're on the handheld. So take care. Be safe. Appreciate you taking the time to check in this evening, Chad. Tell Miss Anna we said hello. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4JBQ.
Go ahead, Larry.
Had to break in here and say that it's awfully glad to hear Chad tonight. Good evening, Chad and Adam. Nice to hear you. It sounds like you're about to drift off, though. And you get a good night's rest, sir. Another thing occurred to me that I hadn't thought of in a very long time, so I should probably just get this out. I actually remember, while my family had nothing to do with amateur radio, and, oh gracious, I thought of the many times I could have helped my dad if I knew enough about the TV antenna that we had at the time. If I knew then what I know now, we could have gotten more than two stations of television. He had the antenna mounted, and I remember working with him a few times and never really understood what I was doing, and he didn't know what he was doing, so, you know, two stations. Long before the internet, long before cable, you know. Anyway, so there we go. Now, another thing. I remember when I first heard about amateur radio. I was 18 or 19 years old, just graduated from high school. And bulletin boards were the big thing at the time. So I started talking with this guy who talked about talking on the radio. This had nothing to do with bulletin boards, and we did this with telephones back then. You used telephone to dial up CompuServe or something, I don't know. And so he was kind of educating me on bulletin boards, and very, very limited, nothing like the internet, nothing like that, which we have within easy reach today. But he was also a radio amateur, and he told me about this, about that hobby, and he was extremely excited about it. Now, years and years and years later, it was 2012 before, and I graduated from high school in 69. It was 2012. That's a lot of years before I got my license. And I can't tell you how thankful I am that it finally came back and bit me, you know. Because as I say, I have met some marvelous people and had the best of friends. I would recommend this hobby to anybody that wants to meet people and talk about interesting things and perhaps have a lifelong friend or two. KK4JBQ.
Well, Larry, I remember the what you were talking about, the dial-up bulletin board services before the universities and companies started. You know, when we was dial-up, we used to have conversations. They had news groups, and you could log into a news group, and you could chat with other people online. Now, you were using a telephone line, and back then I had two telephone. I paid for two telephone lines, one for dial-up and one for just regular talking. And I remember talking to people about who in their right mind is going to pay for servers for the internet? Because, you know, the internet was like the big thing coming out. It's like it was to dial up. The internet was to dial up like CW, like single sideband was to AM. It's like it's never going to catch on. The internet's never going to catch on. Nobody's going to pay for those servers. And then all of a sudden universities started paying for servers, and individual companies started paying for servers, and you could jump around the world. You could jump from server to server because they had anonymous logins, which they don't do that anymore, but back then they did. You could use anonymous. Anonymous was the username, anonymous was the password, and you could hop all over the world from server to server, but they cut all that out pretty quick. But I remember doing exactly what you're talking about, dialing in to a service provider that allowed you to access their information. And I guess we got telephone number lists from the first one, so it's kind of like bootstrapping. You go to one of them, you find out, you know, a number to call, and you download their list of, and then you compare notes with other people. Well, this was a good one. Well, this one just got junk. Well, this one is overcrowded. It's good, but you can't get in. Remember those kind of things. So that was quite different. And then all of a sudden, dialing started going away, and everybody just started getting hardline connections, or that was pretty cool too. So, yeah, the evolution of it, when you start thinking back about what was important back then, going from a 9600 baud to a 56K, wow, that was a huge step. And taking 2 days to download something was nothing. That was just normal. I'd download the Linux operating, or what, Linux didn't even exist. You download the Unix operating system back then and assemble it and put it together yourself. And it'd take days to compile on the slow CPUs and take days to download through the dial-up connection. So, yeah, the world has changed, Larry. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.